As the night continued, King Hrothgar and his queen departed for sleep, and the massive doors of Heorot Hall were locked and barred, and the nobles and earls remaining there fell into a drunken stupor and snored loudly. Then Bullywhip and his men, still wearing their armor, went about the room dousing the candles and seeing to the fires, that they should burn low and weak. I asked Hrugr the meaning of this, and he told me to pray for my life and to feign sleep. I was given a weapon, a short sword, but it was little comfort to me. I was not a warrior and knew it full well. Verily, all the men feigned sleep. Bullywhip and his men joined the slumbering bodies of the King Hrothgar's earls, who were truly snoring. How long we waited I do not know, for I think I slept a while myself. Then all at once I was awake in a manner of unnatural sharp alertness. I was not drowsy, but instantly tense and alert, still lying on a bearskin cloth on the floor of the great hall. Page 142. It was dark night, the candles in the hall burned low, and a faint breeze whispered through the hall and fluttered the yellow flames. And then I heard a low grunting sound, like the rooting of a pig carried to me by the breeze, and I smelled a rank odor like the rot of a carcass after a month, and I feared greatly. This rooting sound, for I can tell it none else, this grumbling, grunting, snorting sound, grew louder and more excited. It came from outdoors, at one side of the hall. Then I heard it from another side, and then another, and another. Verily, the hall was surrounded. I sat up on one elbow, my heart pounding, and I looked about the hall. No man among the sleeping warriors moved, and yet there was Hrugr, lying with his eyes wide open, and there, too, Bullywhip, breathing in a snore with his eyes also wide open. From this I gathered that all the warriors of Bullywhip were waiting to do battle with the Wendel, whose sounds now filled the air. By Allah, there is no fear greater than that of a man when he does not know the cause. How long I lay upon the bearskin, hearing the grunting of the Wendel and smelling their foul odors. How long I waited, for I knew not what, the start of some battle more fearsome in the prospect than it could be in the fighting. Page 143. I remembered this, that the Northmen have a saying of praise that they carve upon the tombstones of noble warriors, which is this: He did not flee battle. None of the company of Bullywhip fled that night, though the sounds and the stink were all around them, now louder, now fainter, now from one direction, now another, and yet they waited. Then came the most fearsome moment. All sound ceased. There was utter silence, except for the snoring of the men and the low crackle of the fire. Still none of the warriors of Bullywhip stirred. And then there was a mighty crash upon the solid doors of the Hall of Heorot, and these doors burst open, and a rush of reeking air gutted all the lights, and the black mist entered the room. I did not count their number. Verily, it seemed thousands of black grunting shapes, and yet it might have been no more than five or six huge black shapes, hardly in the manner of men, and yet also manlike. The air stank of blood and death. I was cold beyond reason and shivered. Yet still no warrior moved. Then, with a curdling scream to wake the dead, Bullywhip leapt up, and in his arms he swung the giant sword Runding, which sang like a sizzling flame as it cut the air. Page 144. And his warriors leapt up with him, and all joined the battle. The shouts of the men mingled with the pig grunts and the odors of the black mist, and there was terror and confusion and great racking and rending of the Heorot Hall. I myself had no stomach for battle, and yet I was set upon by one of these mist monsters, who came close to me, and I saw gleaming red eyes. Verily, I saw eyes that shone like fire, and I smelled the reek, and I was lifted bodily and flung across the room as a child flings a pebble. I struck the wall and fell to the ground, and was greatly dazed for the next period, so all around me was more confused than true. I remember most distinctly the touch of these monsters upon me, especially the furry aspect of their bodies, for these mist monsters have hair as long as a hairy dog, and as thick on all parts of their bodies, and I remember the fetid smell of the breath of the monster who flung me. The battle raged for how long I cannot know, but it concluded most suddenly of a moment, and then the black mist was gone, slunk away, grunting and panting and stinking, leaving behind destruction and death that we cannot know until we had lighted up fresh tapers. Page 145. Here is how the battle waged. Of the company of Bullywiff, three were dead, Ronith and Halga, both earls, and Edgtho, a warrior. The first had his chest torn open, the second had his spine broken, the third had his head torn off in the manner I had already witnessed. All these warriors were dead. Wounded were two others, Haltaf and Rethel. Haltaf had lost an ear and Rethel two fingers of his right hand. Both men were not mortally injured and made no complaint, for it is the Northmen way to bear the wounds of battle cheerfully and to praise above all the retaining of life. As for Bullywiff and Hergar and all the others, they were soaked in blood as if they had bathed in it. Now I shall say what many will not believe, and yet it was so. Our company had killed not one of the mist monsters. Each had slunk away, some perhaps mortally wounded, and yet they had escaped. Hergar said this, "I saw two of their number carrying a third who was dead. Perhaps this was so, for all generally agreed upon it. I learned that the mist monsters never leave one of their kind to the society of men, but rather will risk great dangers to retrieve him from the human purview." Page 146. So also will they go to extreme lengths to keep a victim's head, and we cannot find the head of Edgtho in any place. The monsters had carried it off with them. Then Bullywiff spoke, and Hergar told me his words thus, "Look, I have retained a trophy of the knight's bloody deeds. See, here is an arm of one of the fiends." And true to his word, Bullywiff held the arm of one of the mist monsters, cut off at the shoulder by the great sword Runding. All the warriors crowded around to examine it. I perceived it thusly. It appeared to be small, with a hand of an abnormally large size. But the forearm and upper arm were not large to match it, although the muscles were powerful. There was long, black, matted hair on all parts of the arm, except the palm of the hand. Finally, it is to say that the arm stank, as the whole beast stank, with the fetid smell of the black mist. Now all the warriors cheered Bullywiff and his sword Runding. The fiend's arm was hung from the rafters of the great hall of Heorot, and marveled at by all the people of the kingdom of Hrothgar. Thus ended the first battle with the Wendel.